In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I'm Brian Shackman, along with my co-host, John Senecal, who's actually on the road. Kind of, I don't know, John, is it a baseball trip?
My youngest son is playing in one of these, tournament things that, for summer ball, and they have them all over the firecracker tournaments. They have them all over the country. But this one is in Hershey, but as anyone has ever been to these things, Hershey, Pennsylvania, they know that there's so many fields are all around the surrounding area. So right now I'm in beautiful Hummelstown, Pennsylvania,
nice.
Watching. He's just started playing at 9 o'clock, and the first play of the game was to him at shortstop, and he made the play. So, and they got out of the inning unscathed, and it's the bottom of the second. They're up right now, but that's where I am. And I was in the Phillies. I went to a Harrisburg Senators game last night, Brian, and saw some Nationals prospects play.
Well, first of all, we're recording on Friday morning going into the weekend of games, and John's on the road. I actually want to start, though, with, because of some connections, you were on the field at the Phillies game. And is that Bobby Dickerson? Is that how you got on the field?
Yeah, so Bobby's been the infield coach for the Phillies for the last three seasons, and he was, if you watched the World Series last year, he was right on the side of the dugout there with Bryce Harper the whole time, watching the game. And he's a pretty integral part of the team. But, yeah, I've known Bobby forever, and he's been on the podcast before, but he got us the batting practice passes. And, I mean, that's the best access you can get, I guess, unless you're down in the clubhouse. But great time. I was there with my youngest son, was 14, and, oh, man, it was awesome. He met a
lot of people. Because at the Red Sox, they don't get that interaction with players, even if you're on the field for batting practice. I mean, if you're lucky, somebody will come over. But he got multiple pictures, and he got Bryce Harper's autograph. I mean, is that how it is at every home game, or was it because of Bobby that you got that?
All right, so I'll kind of break it down for you. So I was surprised that usually there's more people, right? So there wasn't a ton of people, which is good. When I say people, there could be groups that come through on tours that are only there for a few seconds.
Right.
And then there's other people that are friends with players, friends with coaches. Like Larry Boa was down there walking around just holding court with people. We know Bobby. So Bobby was able to get Alec Bohm to come over and talk to Austin, which was really cool because, we both follow baseball, and Alec Bohm was really super cool to him, and he talked to him and all that. But as far as those other players go, no, we're totally on our own. And, Bryce Harper, obviously, he was super, super pumped to get his autograph, but, you kind of got to just go with the flow, and you got to call their name, and Bryce probably signed like 8 things, and that's it is what it is. It's not as easy as you think. Like, just because you have that access doesn't mean you're getting autographs. Like, we were right there to get Kyle Schwarber, and then these kids come up and they try to start like getting pictures and stuff, and then the players just kind of get weirded out in a way. It's like they want to keep the thing flowing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't blame them
for that. Actually, I think that like they're trying to get ready for a game, and people think they're a dick or something if they're not nice. But like, I think signing a couple things, but like taking a bunch of pictures. If you talk to any celebrity, that's the thing they dislike the most.
Right.
Because it's just they got to put on some sort of happy face, but like they'll sign a couple things but you also I think fans are kind of jerks about it sometimes too because they don't recognize the context.
Yeah, so that's interesting you say that. So like we're down there, and then, there's a lot of younger kids. Like my son's 14, and my thing is like if you can drive, if you got your driver's license, it's time to back off, right? Like you don't need to be in there in the trenches trying to get autographs,
Right.
But that being said, and having that access, there's still those people. And I'll say there's those people. Like, there's this one girl who was probably easily 25 years old, and she was like, oh, let me get selfies and all this other stuff with the players. And, of course, like, some guys are really good. Like, guys like Josh Harrison, like, he is the man of the people. Like, he is the man of the people. He was going around saying hi to everybody, doing his thing. But he's also not Bryce Harper. You know what
right,
I mean? Like,
right.
he's not Bryce Harper. He does not have that exposure. He does not have that demand on him. Like, Bryce Harper is not a guy you ask for selfies. You know what I mean? Like, you just don't do that. It's just not how it works. But, like, that's right. what they were doing. And,
but
like,
you shouldn't and, like, do that. Like, my opinion, no. that's my point. Like, you should be, like, you feel grateful to be there. It'd be great if you got a, I mean, to me, it'd be like a handshake or a wink or a hi is more than a signature. But if you got a card there, great. But, I mean, to have them stop their flow and smile on a stupid camera, I just think it's really selfish of people to do, to be honest.
Yeah, or you just give them a, you know, you talk to them, like Matt Stram, who has a YouTube channel called Stram Stadium Pulse, and he opens baseball card packs at stadiums. He's into baseball cards. And it just so happened that on Wednesday, the game we were at, Topps Chrome baseball was released that day. So he was walking by. I'm like, hey, Matt, you picking up any Topps Chrome today? And he, like stopped. And turned around. He was like, oh, wow, this guy, like, wants to engage
he knows.
I'm into. So what did he do? He, like, came over and he started talking to us. And, like, we didn't have any, oh, my God, my son just had a double. Nope, he's going back.
Nice.
Oh, no, the kid got, he drove in a run, but then the kid got picked going to third. But he had a nice hit. Anyway, so, you know, he came over and he engaged us, right? And he talked to us, but we didn't have anything for him to sign. So I was like, oh, can you get a picture with my son? And it was cool because it was a different experience for him and it was a different experience for us. And I think he probably enjoyed that. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, you connected with him in an authentic level. You know the things that interest him as opposed to like, oh, you play and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I think that's cool. I mean, just to get the signature on the card for Harper from a business standpoint is pretty cool, too.
So, but it was interesting that you say the signature on the card, right? So that part was like kind of like it freaked us out because like that's all we had. Like we could get a ball and stuff, but we weren't going to carry a ball around. But there was like everybody was getting ball signed. Like these younger kids had like a ball with a bunch of autographs on them. So he's over there signing and he looks over at Austin, who has a card, and then he kind of looked away and kept signing the balls. I'm like, you know what? I bet he's not going to sign that card because he thinks like, oh, this guy's just going to take it and flip it. Like you never know. It's easy to sell a card. You throw it in an envelope. It's much easier to ship. Put it on eBay. And I was like, boy, I never even thought of that. And then he looked, he turned, he said something to a player, and I was like, this is his out right here. He's going to disappear. And then he turned back, and Austin kept holding it out there, and he signed it. And Austin looked at me and goes, I didn't think he was going to sign it. I'm like, neither did I, man. I'm like, I didn't think he was going to sign it either. Well, but, you know, it was cool. And I mean, we're not going to sell that. I mean, you should have seen the grin on his face when he got that. He was like,
oh, no, I'm not. But, I mean, you could. I mean, the point is that
but I think
a baseball signed by Harper is one thing, but if you have a signature on his card,
right.
Then, and that has real monetary value in our world right now. And that's all I'm saying is that the second he signed it, that card's worth money. And I do listen, gone are the days where some guy is pushing an 8-year-old forward to get it for him and then hand it to him. Like, you know, most people are, you know, we don't have as many idiots as we used to. Like, that doesn't happen as much as it used to. But I mean, first of all, I mean, I know you're in it for the right reasons. And Austin, you know, I mean, I'm surprised he could even talk him up. He doesn't say a whole lot. So
I know, you're right. You're
true. but anyway, I'm glad he got to have that experience, and thanks to Bobby for doing it. But I think, you know, listen, when people wonder, you know, we have a lot of people, I have family who listen to the podcast. I mean, you know, you're a baseball guy, and from head to toe, and I think that it's great that just to show that you're doing some summer life experiences, you know, with the game. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Let's get right into it because the situation is really, really weird. And we were wondering when Aaron Judge is going to come back, and it turns out it's going to be right at the beginning of August. And you wonder what they shot him up with or whatever, but I'm sure they didn't. But I thought it was going to be a little longer. The question is it in time? And, you know, we don't have to go through the crap that we always talk about, how they're flawed even with him, blah, blah, blah. We're not going to be repeating ourselves. The question to you is very simple. He comes back. Is there enough time to get it done?
I would say, based on the position that they're in, for the wild card, I would say yes, because obviously, you know, he's like adding a free agent puzzle. Is he going to be healthy enough? TBD, right? And did he get injections? Yes, he had plasma injections in his toe. I mean, whatever that means, he had it, right? Did he go to Canada where Tiger Woods went, or did he get it spun out of a calf? I don't know. But he did have injections, and I think he's obviously not 100%. He's coming back to be back, but I think that will be a sign, and I think the Yankees, hopefully, if they can do good against the Orioles in their upcoming series, will be buyers, and they'll put a piece together, and hopefully that they can make a run at it. I mean,
will
are
he
they,
DH?
Are
will
they
he...
a World Series team? I do not think so, even with Aaron Judge. If they add a Cody Bellinger, I don't know. Who knows? But I don't think anyone's, you know, you got to look at the other teams that you got to get through, too. You know,
do they put Stanton in the field and DH Judge?
Well, from what I've read, the plan is for Judge to DH and play the outfield. So I think they're just going to have to – I think Aaron Judge with a busted toe is better than a full Giancarlo in the outfield. Let's
see,
put it that way.
My hot take is I don't think they can win the division. You put him back in, and I swear it's going to be like clockwork. It's going to take a week or so. But Rizzo and Stanton are going to take off.
Yeah, and then if you can add a piece to that mix – And you know, like everyone's saying, Bellinger. You know, hopefully, that'd be great. I would have loved to have seen him sign before the season. But I agree with you, Brian. I hear what you're saying. I think it can click and go what it needs to be. But they're not winning the division. They're just not. Unless somehow Nestor Cortez comes back and they just go off. But, you know, baseball's crazy. I just don't see it happening.
Well, the most important thing for me is people often look at how many games you're behind. And it's only as we start the weekend, it's eight. But it's not the games. To me, it's the number of teams. To gain a full game, you need everybody in front of you to lose. And so,
right. And this was the time to do it. While Tampa was losing, and they're not. Right? They weren't doing it. So
it didn't happen. So I mean, listen. I never say never. I mean, I'm not. I'm old enough to have a little bit of memory of '78 and how much the Red Sox were in the lead, and we know what happened there. So it's not impossible. I just don't. I don't think it's likely. And so that's where we have it. So Judge is coming back. He'll need like a week of spring training to get going, and hopefully he doesn't re-injure it. I mean, I think Judge is good for baseball. So I don't like the Yankees, but he might actually be my. Outside of Rizzo, my favorite Yankee, but I don't like the rest of the team.
I love for a guy like him. There's no rehab assignment. You just go down to Tampa. You take a few at bats off a guy who's rehabbing, and you're back. You know.
I love it if he showed up at Hartford in the Somerset series. Like, how great would that be to go to a AA game though and see Aaron Judge? I mean, that would be sick.
It'd be like a Taylor Swift concert.
It would be incredible. Oh my gosh! And let's pivot to the Red Sox because. In some ways, I think the Yankee dynamic is much more linear than the Red Sox. The Red Sox, you know, listen, Kike, I was bummed because I like him. I think the players like him, the fans like him, and he can play multiple positions. And then I'm like, okay, so this just tells me that Story's definitely coming back. And you know, and so they're going to try to get an asset or whatever. But I can't determine what it means in terms of buyers and sellers. And you know, then Alex Cora comes down and says, oh, well, you know, we should be looking at winning the division too. And I'm like, first of all, I think that's nuts. And I get everybody who listens to the podcast that I know says I'm way too cynical. The Sox score a ton of runs. They have young talent like Casas that are coming around. And you get Story back. Even if Sale becomes a Pivetta-type reliever, he's another arm. And shut up, basically, is what they tell me, right? And so... I'm looking for reasons to be optimistic, but like then I look at it and I look at the way the team is. I'm like, you'd be stupid to make trades for rentals or to give up young talent for this team. But yet here they are ahead of the Yankees and really close to a wild card.
Yeah, I don't. I have a hard time disagreeing with your friends, Brian, and the listening to the podcast. I really do because, I mean, especially the way they've been playing, they really have been pretty consistent the whole season, and they're honestly just getting better. And with Story coming back, we all know what kind of player he is. I don't see how that's going to hurt them at all. Obviously, it's going to make them better. And I think Sale, honestly, is a better option for you not in the rotation. I think he'll be better served as a guy who can come in later in the game or like middle in the sixth inning. You know what I mean? Like he could be that guy that could give you two innings of that crazy left-hander or come in late and get the lefties out, you know? So I don't think it's going to be so much where you like he's not. They're not going to need that much. Maybe they go out and try to get another pitcher. I just don't see them like being like in the position to go get a Stroman or someone. You know, I don't.
Sure. Well, the bottom line is they only. I mean, it's crazy to say this, but they only have three starters. I mean, they might get Whitlock and Hauk might come back. And listen, if they get Hauk, Whitlock, Sale, and Story back, you're right. They might not really need to make a deal.
Yeah, I don't see a scenario where Sale is more than a four inning pitcher by the whole rest of the season.
Want him to be because the truth
is, I don't think the Red Sox are looking at it that way either. I think they're thinking short, you know, stints with him all the way out.
Because he goes five innings, and in the fifth inning, he walks off the mound with pain. His career's over.
Yeah, he is. He's literally like, I think it's done after the next injury, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, I don't love him. He's a bit of a prickly personality, but I love him as a competitor, and I never understood why he couldn't put on more weight. But, I mean, I don't ever, no matter how much you like or dislike somebody, I'm always uncomfortable with injuries. I hate it when people are negatively impacted by injuries.
Aren't good for anybody. They're not good for anybody. And the amount of work that goes in for these guys returning, it's not like us, you know, oh, I strained my something. You know, hopefully I can take that hike next week. No, these guys are, you know, there's just too much on the line. And they screw it up, and then they're obsolete, you know, and there's a whole other component to it. Then people don't pay attention to them anymore, you know.
The last thing I have for you, this is episode 121 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. John Senecal, who's in Pennsylvania watching his youngest son play some ball, Brian Shackman here, is of all the teams that aren't the Red Sox and the Yankees, and we've talked a lot about the Orioles and obviously in the division, we've talked about the Reds, and I know the Giants have cooled off. Those are some of my favorite teams. But, like, who are you looking at here? And you're like, yeah, man, I like what they're doing.
Well, I still like Arizona. I still like Arizona, but
really,
honestly,
I think they're done. They're done.
I think what you can't discredit and you can't overlook is the fact if Shohei's not going anywhere, the Angels, you got to watch out. I think you got to watch out for the Angels. You really do. If Trout comes back, although I guess he hasn't been swinging yet, so there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of ifs there.
They've been better without him. They've been better without him.
They have been better without him, but it might be too late if he doesn't come back too soon. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it might be too late.
But I like their chances if Trout comes back healthy. I'm big on Arizona because I love young talent that rises to the top. I love the Corbin Carroll story where he has a shot to be MVP and Rookie of the Year in the same rip.
Yeah.
I like that story and the fact that, you know, you build around that, and that's the kind of stuff that pushes you to the postseason. You win, and my son just had stolen base. Awesome. Things are looking good down here.
Yeah, it's good. Well, he's made a nice play in the field. He got a hit, and now he stole a base. So we'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it. And it's TBD on Aaron Judge and how the Yankees do, but we'll see. And don't sleep on the Sox, Brian. Don't sleep on the Sox.
It's not that I sleep on them. I lose sleep over them, but I definitely think that the message has been received from people.
Well, honestly, to answer your question, I can't believe I didn't say that. In baseball, the Phillies, that's who you got to look out for. I mean, I just came from that game. They're exciting. They can hit. They got energy. They got energy. And if they need to make a move, they'll make a move. Dombrowski, he's shrewd, man. He's always ready to go.
I don't know how shrewd he is, but he's always willing to deal. I mean,
always ready to deal. Always willing to deal.
No doubt about that. Well, safe travels home. We'll be back together next week. You're listening to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.